This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us of Charlottesville Tomorrow every Tuesday for a growth and development discussions. We invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070. Is there a development issue in your neighborhood, in your neck of the woods that has your attention, that has a bee in your bonnet, or upon which you would like to pontificate? Give us a call, 977-1070.
That pretty much opens us up for just about all sorts of trouble, Coy.
I love when people call in. I love it. That's my favorite part about this job, even though it's just part-time, is when people call up and they say, you know what really ticks me off about what's going on, or you know what I love about living here, or just, I love it. I mean, that's the whole point of this show, is just to provide a forum, a local, little slice of local in the afternoon. You can, you're driving home from work, you can jump on the cell phone and call in and say, what the heck are they building over there? Why are they putting this road in? Or why haven't they put this road in? And I'm sure you hear a lot of that.
Sure.
It's your job.
I just left a meeting at the county office building about development out in Crozet, as a matter of fact.
Really? What was the upshot?
Well, it was just looking at some of the infrastructure issues, and that's something I think we can talk about today.
I hear a segue coming. Infrastructure? How do we fund our infrastructure?
And it's not just transportation. I mean, Christina Knuckles was just on from the Virginia Pilot talking about transportation and the stalemate there in the General Assembly. And I think you've had some interesting guests that give us sort of the state perspective on funding our infrastructure, whether it's schools, transportation, sidewalks, sewer, water, you name it.
Right.
And it often gets framed as, you know, Richmond just being dysfunctional and the Senate versus the House and the different views on whether we should raise taxes. But I think there's some deeper issues.
You're right. It gets to be this whole point where it's just about money. It's just about not having enough money. And the Democrats want to raise fees and taxes, and the Republicans want to sell bonds. And that gets to be the debate. And you sort of lose sight of, well, should this be even the debate? Should this be what we're talking about?
There's a finger pointing that goes on, and I think it's just sort of a reflex reaction to some of these public policy issues. And local government points at state government, state government points back at local, and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But in this case, you know, I think Jim Bacon is somebody you had on the show, and I listened to that podcast.
He's a good man, smart man. That Bacon'sRebellion.com.
Bacon'sRebellion.com, and he would describe himself as, and I've heard him describe himself this way, as a conservative trying to marry an environmental ethic with free market solutions.
Yeah.
And I think that's
a very unique blog.
I think that's of interest to a lot of people around here. And his goal is quality growth, and so I share that goal with him. He is raising some interesting issues about this transportation debate and talking about, you know, how we've been doing roads one way in Virginia for the past 75 years and the state funding of secondary road construction and maintenance. And you've heard me on this program talk about this wish list of road and transportation projects we'd like to build that we just can't get to.
Right.
And he's raising some interesting points that were on your program and have been in his recent emails. And I should mention, I've got links to all of his work on this front on cvilletomorrow.org. And if you click on the Radio Extra button, you'll go to my special WINA page, and there are all these links. So you can get to some of these articles that are very interesting. But I think he would say the people that are complaining and saying it's just a money problem are only talking about half the problem. The other half of the problem is looking at how we actually build and connect our land use and transportation decisions. And that's what Christina Knuckles was talking about, some of the other ideas in the General Assembly about how we can change things. And Governor Kane has had some of this. The House Republicans had some of these ideas in the special session. And I think we need to look at that locally and ask how would Albemarle and Charlottesville end up if we were suddenly in charge of our secondary road funds.
And that's what's so encouraging about perhaps this General Assembly session coming up in January, is that this is something the Democrats and the Republicans want to talk about. They want to talk about land use and how Virginia legislates the use of our land vis-a-vis whether it's a school or a road or anything. And when it gets right down to it, I guess the question is should a place like Charlottesville, Albemarle, these localities have more of a say in what roads are built and where this new road does go?
That's right.
Because right now we don't have much of a say, do we?
Well, we do set those priorities, and then we try to secure the funding from the state to fill those buckets. And right now, only several buckets are getting any of the money. And none of them are getting full enough to actually start a road project.
But isn't it, when it gets right down to it, it's the CTB, the Commonwealth Transportation Board, very influential board of folks who get appointed. They often have more of a say about what roads get built. Localities try to lobby this board, but in the end...
On big road projects, like primary road projects, yes. But on the secondary road projects, no. I mean, it's the locality and the Metropolitan Planning Organization are both involved in some of those strategies.
And give us an example here in our neck of the woods of a primary road versus a secondary road.
Primary
so folks
roads
can visualize
are like
this.
29, Interstate 64, 250, all the numbers below 600.
Okay.
If you're above 600, you're a secondary road.
Okay.
So secondary road projects of interest that we've talked about, Jarman's Gap Road, Adam Crozet, Georgetown Road, and the Jack Jewett District off of Hydraulic.
Meadow Creek Parkway.
Eastern Connector.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are all
Eastern
secondary
Avenue,
roads that we don't really get the final say of what gets funded and what gets built.
Well, we have the say about when those things, where they are on the priority list and how the funding gets allocated to them. But what we don't have say over right now is how the flow of that money. So we have a long list of projects and not many of them are getting any of that money. But I think we're, you know, the discussion to have here in the future, and I hope the General Assembly will look at this, is those sort of the deeper reform of VDOT and transportation funding in Virginia. And I think a locality like Charlottesville and Albemarle comes out looking pretty good as being able to handle something like that. Now, we still need state funding to support it. But we've got, you know, a comprehensive plan in the county that designates certain growth areas. So we're trying to get the growth in places where the roads will be shorter, as opposed to out in the rural areas where you'd have to have longer roads and more maintenance. And it's that growing maintenance budget that is going to be, you know, the demise of the secondary road funding equations in Virginia. We've got a neighborhood model in the county which talks about interconnected streets. And that's something that, you know, VDOT is happy about because it moves the congestion points. You don't have this bottleneck. If you have just traditional cul-de-sac development and everybody can only get out of a neighborhood at one point onto 29, then that makes a dealing with that congestion more difficult. Now, the public has said loud and clear in Albemarle that they're not too excited all the time about interconnecting existing neighborhoods.
People love buying houses on cul-de-sacs.
They do.
You know?
But our newer
kids can play with the kids in the cul-de-sac or in the woods behind the house, and you don't have to worry about cars coming through constantly.
But, you know, my grandfather's house up in Fairport, New York, on a grid-type neighborhood built long ago, and those are also safe neighborhoods, and there are ways to do traffic calming and create these safe residential neighborhoods, and that's what it's all about. You're right. People want a safe place to walk and to bike. But in our newer neighborhoods, take North Point, for example, Hollymead Town Center, Old Trail Village, those are being built with this sort of interconnection in mind. There's still some cul-de-sacs in there. And so if that's the housing product you're looking for, there's plenty of that that's going to be available in Albemarle County. But the major streets are interconnected to give multiple pathways and ways to get to the shopping and the retail without having to get out on the main thoroughfare, 29.
Right.
Or 250.
So if the General Assembly said in January there was new laws that sort of empowered localities more to decide which secondary roads are built versus leaving it up to Richmond, our area would be positioned perfectly, pretty well, to make these decisions.
I think we would, and that we've given this a lot of thought. We have a good wish list of projects that have broad support. However, I think something that Christina Knuckles also mentioned was that additional power coming to local government where they can raise questions at the time of rezoning. Do we have the infrastructure in place to make this a successful development? And those are the questions being raised out in Crozet right now. They're seeing new developments approved, and some supervisors are saying, hey, the traffic's going to be too great. We're adding too many residential units, and we're not getting enough of a proffer to mitigate that impact. And so I think that's another part of this conversation. What kind of power does local government need to be successful then building these roads? But if you put local government in charge, then if they make a mistake, if they approve a development in the wrong place and it creates too much traffic on the roads, then they're going to be in the driver's seat to fix it.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. That's SeavilleTomorrow.org. You bring up Crozet. Let's go there next. Take a quick break. And when we get back, let's go to Crozet and the recent news about, speaking of infrastructure, about Crozet schools. If you've got a comment or a question about this, it's 977-1070. You're listening to Charlottesville right now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Brian Wheeler is our guest, executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He's here. That must mean it's Tuesday. Now, you were just telling me during the break, we were talking about cleaning up leaves and how we have all these leaves in our yard, because they're certainly coming down. And you recently made a big purchase in your life. What is this? I love it.
My family has nicknamed it Bertha, I think. But it's a huge lawn and leaf vacuum. You know those DR Power commercials?
No.
There's this company up in Vermont, I think, and they sell all these little DR contraptions, they're called. And after raking leaves myself for the past 9 years at this house,
yeah,
I just decided I needed more technology on this. So now I have this thing that...
Is it gas powered?
Oh, yeah.
Or you got to run a cord all the way to the house?
No, I hook it up to the lawnmower, the riding tractor.
Oh!
I hook it up to the back of that, and it sucks up everything from
underneath. Does it
work? Oh, yeah.
Really? Do you have to go back and, like, rake where you vacuumed? Or does it really work?
Oh, no. It really works.
That's incredible.
And
that's pretty cool.
So then it mulches them in this huge, you know, trailer, so throws them in the back, and then I go dump the trailer.
Oh, and that's too cool.
So it's, yeah.
Now you
it's
got you
give me a lot more time.
You might have a second calling. You can just go around the neighborhood.
Now all my neighbors are hearing this now. Yeah, they're like leaving me voicemails saying, Brian, come
on. Is it really loud or it just sounds like the lawnmower?
Well, I'm wearing those ear protectors, so.
Yeah, yeah. You got to wear those.
I don't know what it sounds like.
Very cool.
It's probably pretty loud.
Is this a Hank Hill discussion or what? Hey, we were talking about Crozet. Big news recently in the Daily Progress regarding, and on this network, regarding Crozet schools. What happened?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna talk about this wearing my Charlottesville Tomorrow hat, and the story in the Daily Progress was...
And for folks who might not know, just to interrupt you, you're also on the Albemarle County School Board, but when you come and sit here with us on Tuesdays, you are with Charlottesville Tomorrow, it's a small town, bro.
Well, and the reason it was in the paper is the school board is gonna be talking about it Thursday night, at a work session.
So the
school board's having a work session to talk about its capital improvement program.
Right.
So the CIP, we call it. And Crozet Elementary is one of those schools that's gotten a larger enrollment than was expected, only larger by 14 students this year, but it's in an area designated for growth. And
you already have kids in trailers out there already.
There are three trailers at Crozet.
Yeah.
And so we need a longer term plan. And it's funny, in Albemarle County overall, the school division only increased by 8 students over last year. But it's been like squeezing a balloon. There's the same amount of air in the balloon, but it popped up at Stony Point Elementary and Crozet Elementary. Those were the two schools that saw the biggest increases. And then Baker Butler, Stone Robinson, Hollymead, they were 20 to 26 students below projection.
Really?
So it's just, it's hard. In this county, it's hard to project when and where the students are going to show up.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question there is what to do next out in Crozet, and the school board is looking at whether to expand Crozet Elementary, whether to expand Brownsville, on what timeline, and then when to build the next elementary school. So that's at the heart of this Crozet infrastructure discussion. And in the past, we've talked a lot about the roads and the sidewalks and things like that. But this I think, will be the next thing that really gets a lot of community attention, because the master plan had in mind another elementary school for Crozet. There are currently two out there, Brownsville and Crozet Elementary, and there was supposed to be one in the master plan south of ConAgra, the old ConAgra facility on 240, which is now Music Today.
Right.
So it would be between 240 and Route 250, and that was what the master plan had in mind. And the question really is when will the timing be right for that? And a lot of that's going to depend on when the housing gets built.
How much does a new school like that cost? Like a new elementary school, ballpark?
The price on the next elementary school is about $29 million.
And, well, couldn't John Warner just fling a pen somewhere and slop some ink
on it? But here's what's interesting, Coy. I look back at the Crozet Master Plan, which was approved in December 2004. And you know what the price tag on that elementary school was? $12.5 million.
Oh, my gosh. It's more than doubled. In 2 years.
So
by the time we build it, which you know it'll be a few years,
well, the staff,
it could be $40-45 million.
I think there's an inflation factor built into that $29 million price. If we built it today, I think it would be more like $25 million.
Okay.
And I think that was mentioned in the Daily Progress. So there's an inflation factor built in. I read that Loudoun County, for its projects, and they're building schools left and right,
yeah,
they budget a 1% per month inflation factor. So we're dealing with some big challenges with construction costs.
And this is money we don't have right now in the county, right?
Well, or
are they budgeting for this school?
There is a budget for the school division's capital needs. And this school, elementary school number 17, it may not be out at Crozet. It may be up at North Point. It may be at Biscuit Run. We don't know where that 17th elementary school is going
to go. The county
go.
Just knows it's getting to be time for another elementary school.
That's right. Yeah. And so the $30 million question is, do we add on to existing schools or do we bite the bullet and invest in the infrastructure in Crozet? And I think that's what I hear from the community as I go out there with wearing my Charlottesville Tomorrow hat and talking to people is that they are interested in those investments being made up front. Now, one of the things you hear...
Meaning what? They don't want to build a new school?
They'd rather have it sooner, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they know the growth is coming. I mean, if you ask them, they say, yeah, we see it all around us.
Yeah, because the rates will go back down at some point, and the housing boom's going to continue, and it's going to speed up, and a lot of people are going to move here, just like they have over the last few years, and we're going to need these schools.
And what's interesting about Crozet is it's the only place where we have an approved master plan. It's the place where the majority of the new building... units have been approved thus far.
You mean the new houses?
The new houses that have been approved and haven't been built yet.
Right.
So there's this pipeline that, you know, when is the spigot going to be turned and how fast will it flow? We don't know. But we know that's an area designated to grow. We know it's going to have students. And it's in the plan has an elementary school. The other places where major developments have been approved, like North Point, that has a proffer for a school site. We don't have that in Crozet yet.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. That's SevilleTomorrow.org. Some of the things folks can find at that website.
SevilleTomorrow.org. And if you pull down the media menu, click on Radio Extra, you will get to the WINA page that has all my links to these items.
And you can listen to interviews and complete audio from all the meetings in the area in case you happen to miss them. That's SevilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.